Welcome to episode 2 of the Flow Ninja podcast. Welcome to Jody Dean's Flow Ninja podcast, bringing you comedy, consciousness, creativity, natural health and well-being. Hi, Jody Dean here. If you don't know me, I'm a body, mind, spirit coach and mentor. I also call it spiritual coaching. I'm a speaker, an actor, a digital marketer and content creator, and I make videos, I'm a YouTuber, and I'm an author, as well as making podcasts. In this episode, I talk to the delightful Kate Mundy, whom I recently met at a speaking workshop, and we got on very well. And I think you'll agree with me that Kate has a very interesting story and has a lot to share with the world. So I hope you enjoy this interview as much as I did. I actually went into Google and we did this in a booth, which also meant that I got a tour of the Google offices in central London, which was interesting, and it also meant that we were in a very private setting. However, we did get interrupted during the interview, but I've managed to edit that out, and you've just got the raw cut, really, of my interview with Kate. Apologize in advance for audio. It's not the best. That's because my main microphone failed to work with my laptop at the time, so I had to use my phone. But I think it's a really lovely interview, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. So without further ado, I present you Kate Mundy, and I shall see you on the other side.
Hey, how you doing?
Great, thanks. Welcome to the interview.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. For the listeners out there, we met last week at the Standout Speakers Academy, did we not?
You did indeed.
Yeah, we ended up coincidentally or synchronistically sitting next to each other. And I'm a great believer that nothing is coincidence and that anyone I sit next to has something to share with me or a gift for me or something. I have something for them or there's some reason for it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. It's like we live in a purposeful universe.
Yeah. Agreed on that one.
And I got to see you speak as well.
You did indeed. I knew it was going to be me. I knew they were going to call me up. Trying to avoid it.
Yeah, right. And you got to see me speak.
You own basically most of the show, to be honest. I feel like you stole the limelight.
And, you know, I don't know if I told you, but I didn't tell you. I went this week as well. Right. And I was the first name in the box.
Were you? There you
again, go. Every time I go, I get my name gets pulled out of the pit. So it's crazy. I'm being called.
Well, it's like you've got interesting things to say then, isn't it?
Otherwise. It is, isn't it? Otherwise...
it would be a bit awkward.
So you told me that you do various different things, don't you? And that's why I was interested in having a conversation with you.
Indeed. Lots of different things. Probably too many.
Yeah. And I was impressed with your speaking. And yeah, that kind of made me think, oh, okay, this is really interesting. Someone I want to find out more about. That's nice. And so we kind of agreed to chat and on this podcast. And yeah, I know that you're going on the speaking side of things, that you set up
some kind of Toastmasters, right? The Google.
That's right. Do you know what Toastmasters is?
Yeah, so I've got an idea about it in my mind, but I've never been. Okay. So I, you know.
So elaborate.
Yeah.
What I mean? Yeah, absolutely. So you're absolutely right. I just want to make it clear to start off with. Like, I do not like public speaking. It's not something that I enjoy. I don't skip up to the front and, you know, want to take, like I said, I was kind of like hiding and avoiding eye contact last week. It's something I still find really difficult, definitely. And I think lots of people do. It's the number one feared thing. Over death.
It is, yeah, that's right. That's what they say.
That's what they say, exactly.
I can't quite get my head around that, because surely if you're, like, death has got to be...
You'd rather be doing the eulogy than being... I'd rather be in the casket than doing the eulogy, I think, is the actual... the quote. But, and that's it. And I think that's actually how I got into public speaking, funnily enough. I was an introverted extrovert, born into this very extroverted family.
Okay.
Mum sent me off to acting school when I was little. Probably to keep me busy, but also because she wanted to bring me out of my shell. Mm. And I still didn't like it. It helped me somewhat, but I still had this big pent-up fear about getting in front of people. And I think it was saying the right thing. Not just saying something, but it was just saying the right thing. And I think that's what, especially us as Europeans, I've noticed. I think Americans are brought into this world where it's a lot about show and tell, get up. So they're accustomed to it from a very young age. Those Europeans were, you know, told to sit down, listen to the teacher. You know, and teacher, you're the student type of thing. It's unfamiliar for us. So, yeah, when I joined Google 5 years ago now, I saw that gap. There was, you know, a lot of graduates coming into Google who'd never really had much experience in presenting or public speaking in different forms. And, you know, come into consultancy sales roles and expected to get up and perform, which it is really. It's a performance, isn't it? So I saw that gap, not just for myself, but for a lot of others. And Toastmasters seemed like a really good fit. So it's a lovely organisation set up in America. You start up a club and it gives people a sort of really nice, safe environment, a platform to get up and practice public speaking on a weekly basis. So I set up that, 5 years ago in Dublin, is where I started the European Google headquarters. And then the last year and a half, I've come back to London and I'm helping run it back here as well.
That's so cool. I love that.
It's great. It's not only just about, you know, public speaking. It's also leadership skills and a great network as well.
And so I've got to go to one of these Toastmasters. So
what do you think?
Well, I'd like to go.
You haven't been yet.
So where is the one that you do?
So ours at the moment is Google exclusively, so it's internally for colleagues, and we run it every week at lunchtimes. I've just started a collaboration with Mindshare as well, which is an agency group. So Mindshare and Google, we're now collaborating. We've joined forces in our teams and we're doing a joint one as well, which is quite exciting. So any Mindshare or Google employees are more than welcome. But there are loads of different clubs around. You can just look up Toastmasters and it will show you all the local clubs and you can pop along. And if you want, so if you subscribe for membership, it's fairly cheap as well. And with that, you get a package which basically talks you through this pathways, is what they call it, of different speeches. So how to talk with vocal variety or how to present with demonstration and all these different techniques. So it talks you through those. How do you prepare those different speeches and how then do you deliver them? And I think a big part of it as well is feedback. And it's something that I think is really important, is feedback, is learning how to give feedback. But also I think what you undervalue is when you're giving somebody feedback, you are also learning because you're evaluating them, you're assessing them, and you're probably taking on board some of your own tips and tricks. So you, like I said, you go through those pathways, you're evaluated. It's a bit like different stepping stones you take to completion, and get certificates along the way. You also
really certificates as well.
Yeah. And then you also, once you're part of the community, if you like, you get great exposure to different workshops that are going on. There's competitions as well, speaking competitions, and whether that be corporate or those kind of national competitions and global competitions as well, actually.
Really?
Yeah. So it's
the whole world within a world.
It is a different, it's another world, absolutely. Yeah, but that is one of the things I do in public speaking.
Yeah, okay. So I get that your Toastmasters thing is exclusive and it's not for the lowly likes of me in Google or outside of Google.
Not at all. Listen, there's loads of clubs.
You just hate me, really, don't you?
Not at all.
So, because I thought you mentioned something about... the thing last week you said about Tottenham Court Road. So you were meaning this Google at Tottenham Court
Road.
That's
it, yeah.
Okay. So there isn't a separate one somewhere around the locale.
For Toastmasters, so there was, like I said, so Google's got, we've had four different locations, five, Victoria.
But I mean, for the, you know, like the lowly general public.
The general public, there are loads everywhere. They are literally everywhere. So
we
get people come in and talk. Well, I like to learn from others as well. So I'm constantly asking other club members to come and talk at our club and vice versa. We go and talk at theirs as well. Bit of cross-pollination, if you like. Yeah. So, yeah, there's near here, there's one in Bloomsbury, for example, and all around.
Okay. So do they have a cost to go to these events?
Yeah, so like I said, there's a sign-up fee, and you have to check exactly what that is per club, but I believe it's like a standard, I think it's 20, 25. That. And then it's about a 60 quid every 6 months. It's quite cheap.
Right, that is cheap.
It's very
cheap. Yeah.
So, and I think that's it. It's not like a big business push or anything like that. It is just like a really friendly network.
Yeah.
Something to get involved with. And I definitely highly recommend it.
And how does it work when one goes there? Is there like a names in the hat kind of thing? You put your name in the hat to be picked?
That's it. So, well, normally it's run on two parts. It's split into half. The first half is all about prepared speeches. So people have gone away. They're doing one of these prepared speeches, whether it's vocal variety or one of the ones I mentioned earlier. And everybody, we try and encourage people to take on different roles within the meeting as well. Like, we don't want the same people leading the meeting. So you have your Toastmaster, who's almost the MC, the conductor of the meeting. You have somebody who time keeps, somebody who watches out, is a grammarian, watches out for crutch words, the ums and the ahs and these sorts of things as well. So everybody
I'm an ah.
You love an ah, exactly, doesn't everybody? You love an ah. Very good joke. Sorry for
that. No, it's just trying to be funny with you. I'm failing fast.
Sorry, I'll remember to laugh next time.
I'll pinch you.
Okay, thanks. Give me a nudge.
The listeners won't be able to. Yeah. Won't twig.
But so I think it's a great opportunity. What I always say as well is it's a really good. People forget that these skills we learn in Toastmasters can be really easily replicated in a work context. Like, they're very early and often in meetings, you have somebody kind of checking the time. You kind of have somebody conducting the meeting, don't you? It's very, like, very transferable skills. So, like I said, the first half is all about prepared speeches and you evaluate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the latter half is more about improv.
Okay. Cool. Sounds good. I love improving.
What do you like about improving?
I think it's more a question of what don't I like about improving, because everything I've done in improving has been amazing and enjoyable for me, which is basically a bland way of saying I'm not going to tell you.
What is your worst experience? I think there's a change into my
experience. I love it because anything is possible, right? And I'm yeah. that kind of a person. I'm a, all the possibilities, I can see them, ooh. You know, and that's sort of also my kryptonite as well, because, you know, that's the distraction, how I can get distracted so easily with, I can do things, and focusing. So
yeah.
one of the affirmations I'm working with at the moment, I'm working with at the moment okay. is I am focused.
Very good.
And it is actually really helping me. Mm. I'm doing something called the 2211.
Yeah.
Darren King shared with us at the last Standout Speakers.
It's funny, I keep getting this affirmation come up, actually. I had a business lunch meeting yesterday, and somebody said that to me as well. Affirmation, have you written down your affirmations? What is going on for me? Okay, I'm going to actually take this seriously now. I need to write down my affirmations.
Yeah, because, I mean, affirmations are sort of starting to go mainstream.
Exactly.
And they're helpful.
Really?
I don't think they're the magic, you know, key to everything. Because, you know, basically you have the shadow subconscious self.
Yeah.
Which will do its best to override any kind of new programming.
Exactly. Yeah.
Going, you know, like, yeah, whatever. Like, sure, yeah, I don't believe this BS, you know. So I think affirmations work to an extent, but particularly they I think they're more empowered when one also does like the releasing the blocks, working with beliefs and emotional clearing and that side of things to work through the shadow aspects of the subconscious psyche, which are, you know, limiting and saying, no, you can't do this, I'm terrible and I'm bad, or whatever it is the story is inside, you know.
Where does that come from?
Yeah.
Great.
So, yeah, affirmations. So, yeah, I am focused, right? And
I know we've gone on a big detour.
I really am focused. I am. And funnily enough, I've had to restart the 2211 process now 3 times.
Wow. Okay.
Because if you miss a day, you've got to start again. So it's funny because it's like, are you focused?
You have to believe it.
But I am feeling the benefits, actually, of doing the processes, even though I'm now on my third restart within a week. Which is obviously, I really need to do it, obviously.
There's confirmation, exactly.
Yeah, it's confirmation, and it is really helping. I'm enjoying it and loving it. So, yes, you were saying affirmation, right?
Yes. Which is
how we got on this tangent.
Yes.
Something about affirmations.
I don't know how we got to this, so I'm not too sure.
How did we get there?
Anyway, focus.
Focus. Yeah, okay. Well,
we are talking about public speaking, but we want to continue on that rebound.
Yeah, public speaking. What was it though? You mentioned affirmation, and then I kind of jumped on that, didn't I? Focus, come on, focus. it's okay, it's fine. We're allowed to go off on tangents. In fact, that's all really what it's about, is going off on tangents.
Yeah.
You know, think you're going to talk about this, and actually you end up talking about something completely different.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where it gets exciting, because it's the unknown. Oh, yeah, I was talking about all the possibilities, right?
Yeah.
I'm a person who sees all these possibilities. And that's like, it's a skill, a superpower I have, but also like it can be a kryptonite.
Oh, it's fascinating. It's the Icarus theory, isn't it? It's like your biggest strength is your biggest weakness, right?
Remind me of Icarus, because I'm saying,
The Greek mythology about the guy who had wings so he could fly, but he flew too close to the sun.
That's
and
right.
Got burnt,
and
right?
They made of wax or something, and feathers.
Something like that. I'm not sure about the intricacies, but
close to the sun, the wings melted, and he flopped.
But I think that is, I'm a true believer that is, we are our own worst enemies. I was talking about this in a panel I was on the other day, which is all about being your authentic self.
Oh, yeah.
And bringing authenticity to work. It was very interesting. And I talked about that as, you know, we're talking about how can you express yourself? And I was saying, well, we are our own worst enemies in that sense, because we put pressure on ourselves to conform or be a certain something. Yeah. And actually, it's, you know, it's not so bad. When you do just be yourself, people are actually way more accepting than you think that they will be.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah.
So true. You were talking about, like, in Europe, how it's, you know, like, in the US, the sort of much more show and tell and public speaking, you know, is kind of comes easier to them. Whereas in Europe, we're like, no, sit down, shut up.
Yeah.
And
absolutely, seriously crippling. Like, people really think about what they are going to say and how that's going to come across. Like, almost far too much that it's like trying to remember every single word that they're writing down. And so over-preparing.
Like so much like hard work.
I know, right? And that's it. And I think, and actually, if you speak with conviction about anything, that's the important thing. It's like, you might be the you know, the biggest expert on a topic, but if you're not able to land that message and deliver that in the right way, it's just going to fall on deaf ears, unfortunately.
Reminds me of a couple of university lectures I've been to. It's just been a professor who's obviously, you know, very expert on the subject, but deathly boring, sort of droning on in a monotone. And ain't nobody got time for that.
That's it. There you go. Vocal variety, that being a key, right? And that's, I think the use of words is really interesting, isn't it? You can say the word like, in so many different tones, and it have so many different effects. Like, exactly, right?
just to illustrate, like, I go,
Like, do you know what I mean? It just is that one word, and you just say it in different tones, and you can portray it differently.
Yeah, and that's also something that we explore in acting, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
It's all the different ways to say something to get across a feeling or a tone. Of meaning.
Exactly. I mean, this is your power. It's your toolboxes, your larynx, your voice boxes is what you have as your weapon, if you like, in public speaking. It's just, and how do you work with that? And you, like I said, with pace, tone, pitch, all these different.
But I love specifically what you say about the, you know, the authenticity and being an authentic self. And that's also on your LinkedIn profile, because I had a little snoop. Yes, I was stalking you. It's a nervous laugh, isn't it?
Very, very much.
Which, I'm just trying to find it here. To educate and enable others to speak out and be their authentic selves, which I think is lovely.
Absolutely, yeah. I guess everyone's trying to find their purpose in life, right? That's the key. And it just has started to all fit together a bit, like a bit of a jigsaw. So I came into this from a very, like, I'm one of those people, if I have something that scares me, or a weakness or something like that, something that, you know, puts my edge a bit, I just have to do the opposite and go and smash it. I just have to go and address it. And of course, that's what I do. I'm like, what do? I'm scared of public speaking, so I go and set up a public speaking club. So,
well done, you.
I actually remember when I first set it up, and we did a big launch day, and we're talking about like a few hundred people in the audience. And that's the first thing I did. I was so nervous. But I walked up on stage, and I just knew. I thought I knew that everybody sat there was like, wow, this person who set this up is going to be an amazing public speaker. But that's absolutely like not the case. And that's what I said. I went on stage and I went, look, I know what you're thinking. But I'm just going to address it up front. I'm absolutely not that. I'm here as much as you guys to learn. And that's it, really. It's like, it's a journey, isn't it? We're all going on. All at different stages. And that's actually fine. I think we can still learn from each other. And that's what I like about Toastmasters or, you know, other workshops and stuff that I do, is that feedback element. Doesn't matter even if you're less senior or less experienced, you can still give constructive feedback. And you've all got your opinions. They all matter. And everyone's got amazing stories to be heard. In fact, that's my favourite motto, is every man is your master. meaning that you can learn a little bit of something from everybody. Mm. I think that's so true.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I love that. I feel like I'm always learning from people. And I don't mean that in a sort of cliche, because it's very easy to sort of band that sort of thing around, yeah. Like sort of cliched, you know, like, yeah, you learn from everyone. And, but it's true for me. It's my truth. I do learn from everyone. It's partly my understanding is to do with the, you know, in the sort of purposeful universe.
Mm.
Nothing is a coincidence, yeah. Actually, ultimately, and that people come into my life, people appear with different messages,
yeah.
And things that I need to learn. If I'm ready and awake,
yeah.
to receive it.
Yeah, that I think that's what the other thing is doing as well. It's like, it's all very well hearing something, but you're actually listening.
Yeah.
Like, are you learning? Are you actually, like, taking that on board,
yeah.
and putting that into practice? But you're right, and I think that's one of my really good friends. She's extremely senior, and she's actually CEO now of a big company. And I've always respected her. I play hockey with her, and for the reason being, because she just speaks to absolutely everybody on the same level, in the same tone, in the same way. She just, you know, doesn't matter if you are a 12-year-old child, doesn't matter what occupation you have. And I try and do the exact same, you know, and I think that's really important. And by doing that, having that kind of a blanket approach, you said you open up lots of possibilities, you learn from everybody, and there's no reason not to as well.
When you say speaks to, do you mean that she'll just talk to anyone?
Yeah, I think she will give anybody the time of day. And she's a CEO, so, like, do you know what I mean? The amount of time she has in a day is limited, but she will genuinely, because she's such a lovely person, will give everybody her time. And like I said, and doesn't project or belittle or anything like that. It's all just, like, everybody gets the same fair chance with her to have an equal conversation. I just think it's lovely. Mm. Exactly how, you know, and we need people like that in our lives to inspire us to be like, wow, you're like, what a great way of living life. Like, I want to be like that.
Yeah, leveling.
So lucky to have people like that. Yeah.
Being humble as well.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm a very humble person.
Oh yeah. Now don't protest too early.
Yeah. So yeah, and I just wanted to sort of zero in on some of my favourite little terms at the moment. Zeroing in.
Yeah, I can tell.
Is that. Yeah, just more on your background. Also, I found very impressive looking at your CV. Oh. And I've written down impressive.
Oh, thank you.
So you can sort of swoon in that, you know, a bit. Not too much, though.
I'm getting better at that. Thank you, Malarkey, as well. I always struggle.
Receiving praise.
Right?
Yeah, it's a hard for me too.
It is a hard one. I'm like dying inside. Like going a little red, but yeah, that's it. I think we're so used to naming all the reasons why you shouldn't be impressed. Do you know what I mean? I'd be like, oh no, that's actually nothing, or they said bad talking ourselves or whatever. And I think that comes from a place of wanting to be humble or not seem to be too braggy or whatever.
It's partly an English thing, a sort of British cultural, English middle class thing, I would say.
Do you think so? Yeah.
I feel that.
I got the feedback actually from a manager once, and she gave me a lovely compliment, and I said, oh, no, whatever. And she said, actually, do you know you're actually being quite rude? So I've gone out of my way to give you a compliment, and you're throwing it back in my face. And I was like, wow, you are so right.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And that really struck me. I was like, God, I think this day and age, people probably have lots of lovely thoughts in their heads, but maybe don't express them as enough or as much as they should or could.
Yeah, it's so true, isn't it? Giving feedback and sharing, you know, constructively.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
All right.
Go on. What did you think was impressive? I'm worried now.
I want to know, did you follow a plan? Your kind of career?
Oh, I'd love to say yes. I like to, I know, no, I like, I've had multiple plans at multiple times. But I think things change. And I think it's fine to rip up those plans as well and or add little bits on or whatever. Like I was very money driven, very money hungry, yeah, absolutely. When I was younger, that's what I was going for. That for me, money.
Show me the Wonga.
Money was success. Like that's what equation I drew. But now, then I just, different things happening in my life that needed time and energy. And things happen, things change, your priorities change, and you get driven in different directions. And now I absolutely appreciate work-life balance. I'm really grateful for the experiences and the opportunities I've had in work, but also outside work, I gain equally valuable experiences. So it's that, I think it's having a plan, but allowing it to be fluid and dynamic and changing that, I think is really important. But one thing that I have in my head, I don't have on paper, and I really need to sit down and do it, apart from my affirmations, which is another thing on my to-do list, is a vision board, which I had one a while ago. I have not done. I mean, it's not visually apparent in my life at the moment. So I need a new one. I need to go and do a new vision board. Do you do vision boards?
No, I'm quite resistant to them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why so?
Probably because it's, I don't know, I got this sort of idea of very sort of American dreamy kind of,
really,
you can have this, you can have anything sort of idea of,
but it doesn't have to be materialistic, right?
The luxury lifestyle kind of thing, and I wouldn't mind living the luxury lifestyle, but there's something in me that's like, oh geez, overload. But I have lots of friends who do them, and yeah, I guess I just need a little push.
Well, surely it doesn't have to be materialistic. It could be like you want to develop a certain element aspect within you or whatever.
I guess it's my, you got me. It's my self-critical shadow side.
I actually,
that says, no, you can't have it. You're not worthy.
But I mean, that's it.
You don't deserve it. So we're not doing it.
You do deserve it, though. You do.
Well, that's it. Yeah.
Do I? I actually went to a talk by Marie Diamond, who is the lead role of The Secret in The Secret.
Oh, yeah.
So all about a law of attraction.
Yeah.
She came to a talk about 6 months ago, something like that. It was very interesting, very good. I bought one of her books as well. Talks about energies and feng shui as well, and the arrangement of things in your house. And she talked about energy boards, vision boards. And that's why I'm now like, I need to do one, because she's convinced me.
Interesting. Actually, I'm just writing down what you said, energy boards.
So it's a vision board.
I know. You meant to say vision board, but you said energy board.
I thought there could be a thing, though. Should we do
and
this?
That's something right
let's
there.
Come up I'm just with
like,
energy boards.
Yeah, like, what is that? Let's zero in on energy boards, because that sounds like, exciting. What would it be? Yeah. Okay, deal. Perhaps that'll be the title theme of our next chat.
Oh, that sounds good.
Energy boards. And then we'll have a product to sell the world.
Sounds great.
Energy board TM.
Sounds great.
Trademark. So
No real plan.
No real plan. It's been a windy road then. I love that you spent time in Dublin.
Yeah.
Did you know it's my father's from Dublin?
Oh, great.
Not a Dublin accent.
No comment. I can only do a bit of Cork. Carrick, bye. Come here to me. It's a different language, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
To start off with, they were like, come here to me. I was like, do you actually want me to come home? Like, am I supposed to get up and go to you? And they're like, no. And your man and your one, I was like, he's not my man. They don't know when you talk about that guy over there. honestly, I was calling this lady Kaomi for a solid month before she told me it was Quiver.
Oh my god.
what? How have you got from C-A-I-M-B-H-O-E or whatever, however on earth you spell it? They just love to chuck a load of vowels in there, don't they?
Yeah.
So, and me being dyslexic, worst nightmare ever. Oh. I'm like, look at this. I'm like, well, how on earth do you say that? So, but I do. I love Ireland. It's like my second home. The Irish are great. I found there's kind of fundamental differences between the Irish and the English are when you meet an Irish person, there was like, just it's all about the crack and like, what are you going to bring to the table? Tell us a good story. Tell us about you. Mm. Whereas when I came back to England, the English asked the three most boring questions, which are, can you ever guess?
What do you do?
Yes.
Where are you from?
Yes.
No, it's not how much do you earn, because we don't ask that question. It's,
Should I tell you?
Go and tell me.
How old are you? That's actually my most hated one, because I've always wanted to be older than I am. I'm getting to the point where I'm now, I kind of want to be a reverse bank. But, just three things just do not define me. I love my job. I guess that's the kind of most relevant. And tells you a little bit about my interest and who I am, where I'm from. Parents chose to live there. Like, when really, I wasn't even a field imagination at the time. So, you know, really nothing to do with me. And how old am I? I don't think defines me. I think it's all about how do you deal with life and, like, you know, rather than a number of years.
That question really bothers me, actually.
Yeah. It
really bothers me. It's like, hey, is it any of your business?
Yeah. Just so I've got a few
but
gray
like
hairs.
Not necessarily in a nasty way, but get off my back, leave me alone. But also, like, actually in a much more kind of, who is this serving?
Yeah.
By knowing this? Like, what is that about? It's actually about you, isn't it, really?
People trying to place you.
Yeah. Place you against themselves and against society and work out, oh, so you fit in there. And so, I understand, like, it's an innocent thing to do, but, like, who is it serving, ultimately? It's just, like, they're like, place markers. They're, like, reference points.
Mm.
This age, you should be doing this or, like, that. And if I was that age, you know, I should be, you know, where would I be? And would I own a house? And would I, and would I be married with children? And or am I a grandparent? Or, you know, blah, 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 blah.
You just mentioned should. That is my most hated word. I actually would love to eradicate it from the dictionary.
Yeah.
Because it's like, people just like projecting their opinions on you. Like, you should do this. I'm like, thank you for your advice. You go, why can't you say, if I were you, I would do this. Like, or from my experience, I've noted that this is a good way to whatever. But like, should. Like, someone's like, thank you so much, but I'm going to do
niggles,
a... Like,
it niggles at me so much.
Or you need...
It's limiting. It's very limiting. And you need...
Need,
well,
should,
one.
All these things. It's very, telling.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? It's like laying a trip a bit. Bad should. Shouldn't use should.
Yeah, I don't know.
Actually reminds me of something Tony Robbins said in a seminar I was at with the man himself. Which, by the way, he's amazing. Go if you can.
Have you been to live?
Yeah.
Seen live? Oh, wow.
Twice.
Jealous. Yeah. I'd like to do that, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. An amazing experience. But he's told a story about a guy he knew, right, that, you know, had, you know, all excuses, lots and lots of excuses about why he wasn't doing things and... Right. And, you know, why he wasn't getting his life in order and why he wasn't living his purpose and why he wasn't doing this and everything else. And he said often this guy would say, well, you know, I'm too young to do that. Or it would be, I'm too old to do that. And then he reveals that that guy was me.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, oh, yeah, I've got a friend, one of those.
It's a good device.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a storytelling device.
But that's, you just said two there as well. I was talking about this last night, actually.
Limiting.
Yeah. My friend said, oh, is this, my shoe's too garish. I said, what does two mean? That's perspective. Like, your spectrum of two is going to be very different to mine.
Yeah.
Personally, for me, I absolutely, I couldn't pull them off. we were talking about this earlier, my generic fashion sense. I was like, I am very, like, monochrome. Only black and white's really. Bit of grey, now and then I'm feeling adventurous. But, you know, but for you, they look great. And do you feel good? Is that, like, you know, do you feel comfortable? Do you feel good? That is the most important thing. So two as well. There you go, add that to the list.
Two.
Words, yeah. I'd like eradicated from the dictionary, please.
Yeah. Yeah, so the age thing, you know, like that really brought it home to me. Oh, he thought he was too young to do things, and he thought he was too old to do things. Mm. This is Tony Robbins, he's like Superman.
Yeah.
You know, he embodies that kind of, like, you can do anything and be anything really want to. And, you know, it's like, you know, I mean, where he's got to is just, you know, phenomenal.
Amazing.
I mean, it's beyond words, you know, what he does and the amount of people he impacts in the world is just crazy. All the statistics are crazy. You know, like, he had this vision, he wanted to feed, what was it, 100 million people? Wow. 100 million homeless people?
Yeah.
And now he's had to change it because he's already fed 100 million homeless people.
What do you
he's changed it to a billion.
Sit. Oh, my word.
I mean, really? Yeah.
I was talking about dynamic plans there. And then you've got a plan for life, you've got to keep dynamic. Otherwise, what happens when you reach your end goal?
Yeah, I mean, it's like goal, you know, shifting goalposts, isn't it? You can always change and up-level it. So I also wanted to just touch on EM power.
EM power, yes.
Yes.
Indeed. Oh, wow. What do you want to know?
So I wanted to know, I mean, well, first of all, I wanted to just say that's so cool and interesting. You know, founding, right? You founded a non-profit.
Yeah, it was, one of the best things I have ever done. One of the toughest things, but I always think the biggest learnings come from some of the most challenging things in life. So I basically was a part of a group called Enactus, which is also known as SIFE back in the day, it had a transformation. And this is basically a group, which is a number start off at universities, and they encourage kind of local and international projects. So it was all found off of that. Basically, I got involved with a few projects on there, which were one was in Africa, one was I want to do something international. And then I was actually like, oh, do you know what? I want to do something on my own. I want to do something that is that I can lead. And absolutely right. I was in, you know, fantastic University of Nottingham, with a large talent pool of students who wanted to build their CVs, and they needed something to put on those CVs. So you know, what basically happened was I had a girl who's doing a master's in engineering. She'd gone out to Malawi, and she was setting up a hydroelectric power system. And she said, look, I'm doing this to supply energy to a local primary school. Do you know we're gonna have a bit of leftover energy, can you do something with it business wise? I was like, absolutely, I have no idea what I'm gonna do, but I will make it work somehow. And that's it. And then that kind of escalated from there, really. And then the next minute I know, there were 30 business students, or, you know, focused on the business side of things, and 30 engineering students focusing on the more of the engineering, all going off to Malawi at different times to implement this. Did a part hydro, part solar energy powering. We had kiosks, basically.
Wow.
The fundamental was that it was at the time, people out in Malawi were using paraffin. It's really bad for the environment, and also the government stopped subsidising it. We're talking about, like, the absolute sticks as well of Malawi. You know, if you had a mud hut, you are winning. This is the kind of, this is the environment we're talking about. Lots of HIV, life expectancy of 27.
Oh my God.
Really young. Deaths every week. Like, that's something you have to factor in when you're building a business, right? It's not just, like, holiday allowance, it's death allowance. And when you have one a week, it's quite a lot. So there were some amazing learnings that I took out there. The big thing that we thought was energy. Yeah, getting it. They don't have.
So wait, one of your employees was dying every week? I don't get it. Or one of your people you were outreaching and helping was dying every week.
The latter, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's the one thing when you create, obviously, like contracts for your employees and you have to factor in time off, then obviously having grievance, days of grievance is the important one. So that's one thing that when you've got one death a week, basically, is quite substantial. And in everybody's kind of related out there as well. So it's amazing learnings. But so in the end, we kind of had a three-pillared approach. It was mainly to do with energy, getting lighting out there. I've never been in like pitch black darkness like that before. It's incredible. You couldn't see from me two were sat right next to each other. Wouldn't be able to see each other come 5 p.m. in the afternoon evening. So it was crazy. And we believe that with this energy, they could light their homes. There'd be less incidents in their homes. They'd be able to work for longer and extend their days. So there's lots of benefits to doing that. To do that through battery packs, rechargeable, renewable energy. I said those part hydro, electric, and solar kiosks that we had in the different villages, where they could come and charge those batteries up for a fraction of the cost of what they'd get paraffin for. And then also the second one was Lake Malawi is obviously hugely sourced by their fishing industry with the big lake that goes down the middle of it. And
I can't pretend that I know the geography.
Do you not? No, there you go. But there's a big lake, Lake Malawi. Yeah. And that's where they do. They go out on fishing boats, which are basically like tunneled tree trunks. They are the most scary things to paddle along in ever, because they just want to roll, basically.
Oh my god.
So yeah, and they go out in the pitch black at night time and
swim, basically.
Yeah, and they used to use paraffin lamps to attract fish. They used the fish to be attracted to the light.
And I see.
That second thing we did was to create a buoyancy lamp that attached the boat that you could put your rechargeable battery into. And then a third was we wanted to, so NGOs were going out there and giving money to these people to build their own businesses. But the trouble was, they'd obviously, if your child is dying, it's an 8-hour boat journey to get to the nearest doctor. What are you going to spend that money on? You're quite likely probably not to spend that money on building a business, but actually saving your child's life. So then they were becoming quite unstuck with obviously not being able to repay that money. So we decided to give them actual skills. I thought that was a bellows, more longevity in that. So we took sewing machines that were donated to us and things like this. We did a bit of nut farming and chicken farming as well. Learned lots about chickens. So,
really?
Yeah, weird amounts. So took these skills out there and taught them and gave them...
What came first, the nuts or the chicken?
A chicken. Exactly, very good. Is that another one of your jokes?
Right? Yeah.
I did laugh that time.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, so nudged you, kicked you. Go on. Dire circumstances.
It was an amazing experience. It was, if I went back in time, I'd do it all very, very differently. But that's a part of learning, right? I made so many mistakes as well whilst doing it. But I'm a better person now. I make better business decisions, I believe, now because of it. I'm very grateful for that experience, definitely.
Well, I consider it extremely noble to work like that and do something like that for others.
And you say it's funny, isn't it? Because I was so money driven as well.
Yeah.
It is weird that I go and do something like this, right? But I just saw the skill potential in it, I guess. And this CV development, where I was going to get me to, and I guess I wouldn't be in Google potentially if I didn't have that kind of experience with my CV.
You spent 3 years at it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, obviously I wasn't out there the whole time, but it was, we worked with the charity that were out there doing the day-to-day. And then...
What an amazing life experience.
Amazing, absolutely amazing. Yeah, some of the stories are just...
I
couldn't make it up.
No.
They don't have watches out there as well, but so can you imagine creating a business meeting and they just kind of, it's like midday when the sun is... So they could turn up anywhere between 11 and 1, 2.
Really?
Stop their waiting case, so casual. I had to hire somebody to be my spokesperson, because I'm obviously a white female, just would not listen to me at all.
Okay.
No voice. So, yeah, there's lots of very interesting learnings. Amazing.
Wow. So curious about other cultures and things like that. Anyway. Yeah. So it's all fascinating for me.
Definitely. Actually, I think one of the most fascinating was when we were trying to, I guess, franchise this to different villages, other than the one that we started in. One of the nearby villagers went off to walk to go to that village. And we asked him, we said, how long roughly is it going to take us? And they said, oh, only like a couple of hours. Okay, that's fine. Obviously, you take enough water and whatever for a couple of hours. In the end, it took us 5.5 hours, something like that, to walk. We were like, why on earth have they told us it's 2 hours versus 5 is like quite a substantial difference. So when we got back and we asked them, they were like, oh, really interesting. It's so different, I think, from what potentially would have happened here. But they're like, well, we thought if we told you 5, you wouldn't go. So if we told you 2, then you're more likely to go and keep going because you're like, well, we must be nearly there.
Yeah.
And we want others to experience what we've got in this village as well. I was just like, wow, isn't that amazing?
They want others to experience
the kind of, you know, the things that we were doing with the energy and the renewable batteries. They wanted others in the nearby villages to have that same accessibility.
See, so they
told us a shorter time so that we were encouraged.
It was a little white lie to kind of
to help others.
Yeah,
amazing. And also, I must say,
brilliant. Yeah, so a sense of community and
but it's not even their village, it's another village. They didn't necessarily know people there. It was I thought that was amazing. And as I said, despite HIV, despite the life expectancy and all its hardship, they are the happiest people I have ever met. Like, just, I think it's because you just don't know what else there is, but they all have mobile phones as well, though. So like, can't afford to eat, but have a mobile phone.
Huh.
Bizarre. Like, I just, absolutely bizarre. I mean, it doesn't work because they don't have any
network coverage.
If you want to get network coverage, you have to like walk up a mountain. But it's just like, that is the, or a very big hill. Not like a mountain. But yeah, mad, isn't it? And they all support football. They can't watch it. It's so funny. So, you know, they support Manchester United but don't really know what that is. Like, it's amazing how things trickle out.
Yeah, that is, isn't it? Mm.
Anyway, again, slightly diverted.
You know, that's fine. So, yeah, this Hammer film production.
Oh my word.
What was that?
God, that was just a part of it.
What was I doing?
I've got youth on my side. All I want to do is go and just do everything, explore. Like, so at least I know what it's like to work for lots of different industries, work for an agency, I knew I wanted to work in business. But it was like, what? And it was always kind of marketing focused.
Yeah.
So I went, I was very lucky, and that's what I set out with the university, actually. So I went a little bit later, got to be honest, messed up my exams. Probably the best thing I ever did was mess up my exams. I had to wave all my friends goodbye whilst they went off to university. I was stuck at home. And when I did that, then when I actually went to university, then I went to university and dropped out as well. And then I realised exactly what I wanted from university. And so I went to a university. So I went to Nottingham. It had a lovely campus feel, which I wanted. It wasn't too extreme. I'm from quite a rural background, upbringing. And and then also with the university, it was more for me. I wanted not just a Red Brick University, but somewhere that had really good contacts in business. So I still stand to this. Network is way more important than a lot of other things.
Not like your degree and the level of your degree.
Degree,
right?
Is important at the time, but you start to realise when you're in work, it's like it's just forgotten.
Yeah.
Like, as long as you get 2-1 and
no one's ever asked me for my qualifications,
really?
Like my certificates ever.
Wow. But yeah,
Google, I guess. That's it. To show that they've done the due diligence.
True. But I mean, that's it, isn't it? It's just, yeah, I think there's other things, other experience, network, those sorts of things when you're starting off in your career. And that's what I went for. And so I set myself kind of targets, not just to set up my own business, but I wanted to go and work for some big organisations. So I was very lucky to work for Mars Inc. and go and work for their Pedigree brand, so they do pet care up in outside Nottingham. Nickelodeon, and I did a bit of work for Telefonica as well. And one of those as well that I got off the back of working for Mars was going and working for an agency, which is Freud Communications, which is not far from here, actually, just around the corner. And went and worked for their strategy team. It's all about creating lovely, broad marketing strategies across, you know, above the line, below the line, digital and included strategies. And one of the, and that's what they gave me, was an international, it was Hammer, you're right.
Hammer Film Productions.
Hammer Film Productions. It was, how do they globalise? How do they go global and retain that kind of British quintessential feel of being, you know, because they are fundamentally a British film company, right? But it was like, how do they expand and go global? Yeah. That was one of the big projects I worked on was there.
Are we talking about the same thing I'm thinking about? Hammer House?
Yeah, yeah.
It is, right.
It's very random that you picked that of all things on my CV. And I don't even know, I need to have a look at my CV now, clearly.
Well, no, I find it interesting because I'm interested in film and I'm an actor, you know, and into doing screenwriting as well. So I thought, oh, yeah, I'd love to hear about that. Yeah, so hook me up, Kate, you know.
You know the real story and we're like, oh.
Yeah, no, it's, I thought you were some big shot.
Darn, sorry.
Never mind. Diageo is another company you work with, right?
That's, yeah, it's again the same. Like you've looked at one finite thing that I've done, but yeah, that's one of the clients that they worked with as well.
Okay, cool. Now the reason I picked that out is actually because I'm an alcoholic, and no, joking. I have a friend who could be talking about myself.
I
have a friend who's developed. Well, I have a couple of friends who've developed two different non-alcoholic drink brands.
Oh, well, okay.
Well, one is more developed than the other, and one is more in just the startup stages. That's interesting. I'm kind of getting involved with that.
That's great.
Well, exciting.
Do you know what it is? So, we've not actually mentioned this, but currently work for Waze. So, clients actually for their UK market. I was doing lots of stuff.
Waze is the driving app, right?
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah, you do. You sell it for me. So if you don't know, yes, Waze is, it's Google's, they used to call it their startup. I don't think they're doing that anymore. The fact that it was bought $1.3 billion back in 2013, I'm not sure you can really call it a startup, can you really?
No.
But yeah, exactly. It's, like you said, the number one driver sat nav app, which is free. I'm actually a big advocate. I'm going to be honest. When I got the job, I'm very, very honest. You know how you kind of download the app and you're like, yeah, avid Waze user. But I really just opened it to see what it was all about before I applied for the job. And I drove at that point. I was living somewhere. I drove 5 minutes around the corner to the station every day. How hard can it be? There's one road. It's really not that difficult. Until Donald Trump came to stay. And the road was closed off because he was staying in the our Prime Minister's country retreat, which is very near to where I was. Road was
Checkers.
Closed. That's it?
Yeah.
And that's it. So I was living right next to Checkers. Road was closed off. What am I going to do getting to work? Had to turn on the Waze app. And it taught me four other routes. Not only different routes I could try, but then every day, which one was going to be the quickest, which one was going to get me there in the least amount of time and difficulty.
So it's like real-time data crowdsourced and stuff
exactly.
like that.
Exactly, yeah. So it's we have drivers, yourself being a part of the community. It's a bit like a social kind of element to it as well. So yourself being a Waze user, you can update the...
I'm not actually.
Are you not? Now you, now I'm sure you will be there, right?
I think I've got the app and downloaded it when I was doing some a little job.
Okay.
And I needed to know routes and stuff in London. But then I was like, nah, get off my phone.
Why is that?
Because I had I'd run out of space.
Space, there you go. But do you drive often?
No, I don't drive. I have. I mean, I have a license. I don't have a car. I don't. I need one. I actually want to. I'm actually now thinking about purchasing a car, but I haven't needed one for the last 5 years that I've lived in London.
Yeah, exactly. Fair enough.
You know how it is, right?
Well, then that makes sense, right? With a driver app. So if you don't have a car, you don't drive. Probably not useful on your phone.
No. Exactly.
But for those who drive.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I said, so it is like you said, crowdsourced. You as a driver can update things like the traffic and things like this. But also we do have our map editors as well who do that.
Okay.
Which is, yeah, for free. Can you believe it? These people spend nearly like 40, up to about 40 hours a week sometimes, just giving up their time free to edit maps.
You're kidding me.
Not kidding you. They love it that much. They're fascinating people. Had like a full hour conversation about postcodes with them about a year ago. It was... fascinating.
Oh my god, I'm shocked. What people get up to in their spare time, isn't it, really?
whatever interests you.
Yeah,
whatever
I guess whatever floats your boat. I wanted to ask you about coaching and that kind of thing.
Yeah, what?
That's what I'm kind of particularly interested in. Obviously about the speaking. Obviously we chatted about that, and yeah, but I wanted to ask you about the coaching as well.
Yeah, what would you like to know about the coaching? What do I do?
Yeah. Tell me. Sell it to me, baby.
Sell it to you. I guess the moment
just unwrap it, yeah.
It's very, at the moment, we kind of talked about this before, it is all based off word of mouth, and from the public speaking that I do, and the Toastmasters and stuff like this, is where it's come from, but I love workshops, number one. I think workshops are my thing, so whatever that is, be it public speaking or do a bit of kind of management consultancy type stuff as well. So transforming teams. That has all been recommendations. And yeah, I do whether that is online over Hangout VC or telephone or one-to-one as well, coaching. And that's everything from, right, I've got this speech that I need to deliver. Can you help me? I think what I'm really quite good at is listening to people's stories and then picking out the bits that I'm like, yes, that will land. Like, do that bit first and then do this. And I'm kind of helping people restructure things. And it's storytelling, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you tell a really good story? What is going to, you know, keep people in their seats and on the edge of their seats wanting to hear more? So that's really, so hearing what people have got to talk about, I guess, adding a bit of structure to that and helping them write it, right the way through to the kind of the end of that cycle when somebody has done the speech and they want to analyse it. I always say, film it, listen to it back. Let's sit down together as well and go through it. I think that's a key tip. So if you are public speaking, get people to film you constantly and get them to look out for stuff. You will know what you need to improve on. And if you don't, ask people, because people are always happy to give advice. So to see through that whole kind of that journey from start to finish with people, at the moment it's on a very ad hoc basis, but also, as I said, run public speaking workshops is another thing. I do a lot of it internally at the moment as well, for Waze, for Google, for different. I've done bits for YouTube and a few other things at different groups. And within that as well, I try and break that down into like the core skills, top tips, things that I want people to walk away with something, like not just a feeling, but actually a tangible something that they can implement tomorrow.
Actionable
things stuff. Yeah,
content. Yeah,
exactly. So
great.
But, yeah, I think in all of that, same as the Toastmasters, to feed it back in is a real things that I try and create, whether it's one-to-one or in a workshop, is a safe environment. It's like, you can say anything, be who you are. That's really important, is being authentic, right? And feedback. Give me feedback as well. I want them to feedback to me, not just the other around. So I think these are two things that I carry through in all of my practices and work.
I love it. Yeah, also like the nous and the courage as well to sort of receive feedback is really important.
Definitely.
So, you know, in any endeavour, I think, to be ready and to receive that feedback, because other people see what you don't.
Definitely.
And can learn and grow so much more quickly.
Feedback is a gift, right? That's what they say.
It's a gift.
It is a gift.
It's a gift.
But I agree with that. It's like, really the only person who's going to look after you is you.
Yeah.
It's very rare that you find somebody who really cares that much about you to... I mean, it's putting themselves out there. It's like almost giving a compliment, but you put yourself out there to be rejected or to be... Do you know what I mean? You are putting yourself out there to when you give feedback. So I think it's...
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. So exactly. So embrace that. It's very rare you find somebody who cares about you enough to, and wants you to develop as well. So grab it with both hands. Listen. Take it on board. Feedback is a gift.
Go for it. Go for it. Do you want to talk about like your any self-discovery journey that you've been on?
Self-discovery journey that I've been on? I think it's been a heck of a ride so far. I'm excited to see what else there is to come as well, because I said I think we're all on fascinating journeys. I'm trying to take life a bit more day to day as it comes these days. So I used to be so forward thinking and be like, right, next, and not actually living in the moment and appreciating what is going on right now. But also, and I like to reflect as well and look back and go, gosh, what have I done? What have I learned from that? And how amazing. I'm so grateful. And like I said, some of the biggest challenges in my life have been some of the best learnings. Absolutely. And I kind of alluded to it earlier with the kind of coming out as being an introverted extrovert in an extroverted family. Just not sitting well with my family as well, that I was so quiet and like timid, shaking, in fact, in some of our family videos. Really? It's this little blonde, milky blonde kid.
Really?
Yeah. Shaking. I was like cowering. Really, honestly. Just so scared of my own shadow type.
That's serious, isn't it?
But you know, just very, I just think very young, very like, not. And which is funny, because when I tell people that, they just can't imagine it, because you're so confident. What I actually think it is I'm more self-assured. I think people mistake that for confidence. It is confidence to a certain degree, but definitely it is self-assurance, which I've only really had in the last I'd say couple of years, to be honest. It has taken me a good while to get to that point. And like I said, a lot of like questioning. Yeah, I said, there's been lots of ups and downs.
Just wanted to actually just chime in on the shaking, because I did a trauma release workshop recently, and we were given a whole spiel about shaking.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and how it is a mechanism of the body of self-healing and regeneration and actual, like resolving trauma naturally.
Oh, wow, okay.
And this is the reason why animals and ourselves shake. It's a sort of a healing response. Yeah, it's a healing response. Yeah, so I just thought I'd chime in about that, the shaking.
Thank you, that was interesting, very interesting. well, I've stopped shaking.
I can see you're not shaking.
I'm not shaking now. but there have been some pretty shaky times, to be honest, going on that theme. I think it's been a lot of self-discovery. So I came out as being gay to my family about 2.5 years ago.
Right, yeah,
I'll ask you about that. Yeah, and in the past, I've only actually been out at work for the past year, maybe. Not everybody knows still, so there could be some listeners even then. Hi. we're laughing about that, because actually I got asked on national TV the other day.
Yeah.
And I was going, what a way to come out to people who don't know. Can you imagine my grandmother watching national TV, going, oh my goodness, yeah. There she is. That's her. So yeah, and it's a process. That has been a massive journey of self-discovery. I never, ever thought I would be even anywhere close to this position in life. I thought that, you know, I was going to end up with a man, having children, all the, you know, fundamental things in life you're told by society is the right thing to do. You're brought up, you know, being, you know, this is the path you're supposed to leave, right? And I get on with men really well. All my best friends, most of my best friends are males. And I could have continued down that path, definitely. And it was only until, well, when I was 23, around about that age, I was living in Ireland. So again, a little bit away from home. I guess it was easier to explore and discover who I am. Being my authentic self. What does that actually mean? And yeah, it was a really tough kind of back and forth. I was with men and women, and I just was like, oh my word, my head and my heart were in two different places. And it was very confusing. I only came out to my parents, said 2.5 years ago, because I really knew I was in a long-term relationship with a woman who I, at that time, wanted to spend the rest of my life with. You know, she's a big part of my life. She's an amazing person. I can't think of anybody that I want to bring home to my family more. I was very lucky in that sense. I have utmost respect to those people who come out and don't have somebody to bring to the family and just do it on their own accord. I think that's amazing. but I also kind of knew my family, and I knew that I had to have somebody there, because if I didn't, they would be like, oh, she's a fad. Just a phase, it's just a, you know, she'll get over it. And even still, I do think sometimes I like, oh, maybe she'll. And that's why I also had to be quite certain that that's who I was, because I don't want to give them that miss hope or mislead them or whatever. Like, because it's also a journey for them. It's a process for them, you know. When I, and that's when I told them, it was, no, this is the information I'm giving you. Ask whatever questions you want. This is, you do whatever you want with this as well. Tell whoever you think is important to tell. Go and confide in people, whatever. Because you don't really appreciate something until it's happened to you, I think, or someone close to you. So, you know, and I mean, and it's about homophobia and things like that. Like, I was homophobic.
Really?
Yeah, because I was suppressing something.
Yeah.
I was scared about it. When you're scared, what do? You make assumptions, you lash out, it's all ill education and being scared about things.
Did you always find women attractive?
No, not really. I don't know. It's a weird one. Even probably now, it's funny. Walking down the street, I'm more likely to comment on a guy being good looking. I can appreciate their looks than a woman. It only becomes a thing when I know their sexuality as well.
Yeah.
But that's so, really so
interesting. Yeah, I'm so curious.
It's real
sexuality in general. It's just, and it, how is why it's just opening up as well as more people kind of define themselves.
Absolutely.
Like, authentically.
Yeah. I mean, my best friend, he believes that he has known his gay since like 4 years old or something. I'm like, God, I am jealous. I wish I knew. I wish I just, you know, was born or knew that I was gay from the moment I was born. But obviously that comes with its own struggles, right? And he's also got a fascinating story in a very different sense. But
so you had crushes on guys and all that?
My longest relationship still is with a man. Yeah, like, I in love, genuinely thought I was going to end up with a guy. So how confusing is that? Yeah, think it's... that and then completely have it kind of turn his head. I guess now I look back, I'm like, okay, I couldn't speak to that boss at work, or, you know, I remember a waitress or whatever it was. There's a few things I'm like, oh, telltale signs.
What do you mean you denied yourself? Or?
Like, oh, yeah, I struggled to communicate with them. I obviously fancied them. So there were these telltale signs that I did, obviously, was interested in women. And I knew that I was probably always going to explore. But like I said, my parents might have thought, I thought that was just going to be a fad. I thought it was just going to be a bit of a phase and, you know, a bit of fun or what have you. I didn't think it was going to be serious. I didn't think I was like, right, this is going to be my life now. But I'm so grateful. So it's only really been the last few months, since March really, so the last few months, that I have properly been out and proud, I guess. I still struggle with bits on my social media and stuff like that. I don't really comment on a lot of things and stuff like that.
Well, congratulations.
But I'm just more grateful than anything. I think I feel like I found my family. As they say, and I love the gay community. You can be whoever you want. There isn't that kind of that ego and judgment, I feel, and I absolutely love that. And it's there, everyone's very supportive, and everyone's got their own journey, and everyone's just supporting each other and being themselves, being their authentic self, which I absolutely love.
That's your kind of
and that's brand, my bag, really? And that's it. And that's kind of what I said, now what I want to do is marry this together, this public speaking gift that I've been given, and then my journey, and marry those together. And I feel like I can help by, number one, talking up myself, which again, like I said, I don't love to do, but I am challenging myself to do, and also facilitating others and giving them a platform, whether that be Toastmasters or coaching, whatever, to speak up about themselves. I think we undervalue ourselves. We are so interesting. Everybody is interesting. Everyone's got a story to tell. And actually,
so true.
People don't think that they are interesting. No. And you can help by speaking out about your story, telling your story. Somebody somewhere will be able to relate to that, and it will help them. And so after that panel I did the other day, I had two women come up to me, and this was my breakthrough. And they said to me, so much after the things you said on the panel, I'm now gonna come out of work. And I was like, wow. First of all, I was like, don't, no pressure, and you know, it's all a journey, and don't, you know, don't do anything too soon or force yourself to do anything. But if I've helped two people out of, you know, in that one even panel discussion, for me that's a bit of a revelation.
So you sharing your truth has enabled others to go along the path of sharing theirs.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and you didn't, you know, that's the funny thing, isn't it? We don't know the impact we have when we speak our truth.
Oh, massively. Definitely agree. We really don't. So I implore everybody to go out and be genuine, be their authentic self as much as you can be at this point in time on the journey that you're on. And then just start storytelling. Start telling people, like we're all interesting. Sometimes funny, not maybe you.
Stop it. Yeah, thanks. Just what closing thoughts. Do you have a favourite book?
Oh my word, I didn't know you were going to say that. I am reading a book at the moment called Becoming Supernatural.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard, read this book?
Thingy Bobs.
Dr.
Joe Dispenza.
Yes.
Yeah, amazing.
Absolutely. You've met everybody. Absolutely amazing. Love it. That's what I'm trying to do now. Get into my quantum state, the absolute
amazing
now.
Amazing work. Yeah, it's amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right now, in this moment, that is my favourite.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Favourite film?
Oh my word. Now that
one that jumps out at you. Doesn't have to be the ultimate favourite film ever. TV series, or
I really want to understand why this has always been a favourite of mine, but Pretty Woman.
Really?
love, I don't know why, it's just always been a favourite of mine. Maybe it's because of like that kind of misperception, and she comes out as a strong woman, and the battle that she has to go through, people judging her, like, kind of, do you know what I mean? And it's, she comes from, you know, and it's rags to riches and all that, and it's life struggles. Maybe it is that. Maybe it is. And Julia Roberts as well.
Yeah.
Stunning.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
And phenomenal.
That's stunning.
And stunning.
Oh, great. Amazing. Any favourite kind of comedy?
Oh, my own? Do you think my own? Try to be quite witty.
No, you are, don't get me wrong.
Oh, don't thank you, thank you. No, I do, I'm the old... my humble self. Apart from myself, just the kind of the Michael McIntyre's, Lee Evans of the world. Oh, yeah. I know, kind of probably quite generic
Observational.
Like, observational, day-to-day, witty moments, actually, you're so right. How ridiculous is that? All these things,
Yeah, well, you are witty and funny, so, I'll go with that.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Well, that's just kind of wrapping it up, really. Watch this space for the Energy Board, TM.
Yeah.
Whoever's out there listening. And, I didn't mention Malaysia 2012, but...
we'll get that in the Energy Board,
In the Energy Board, it'll
next
be
next session.
So thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
And if people want to get in touch with you, you know, for sort of coaching or mentoring, probably speaking stuff.
Definitely look me up on LinkedIn. It's probably the best way.
Yeah, there you go. Kate Munday in LinkedIn.
MUNDAY.
Yeah.
Hey, so I hope you enjoyed the interview. If you want to hear more about the Standout Speakers Academy, where both Kate and I met, and is really going to help take us to the next level in terms of speaking, then do get in touch with me. I'm part of the team. Probably the easiest way to get hold of me is email, which is jodyconsulting@gmail.com. That's J-O-D-Y. That's how I spell my name. And you can also follow me on Instagram. It's Flowing Ninja. That's the username for the account, which is for the podcast Flow Ninja and coaching and mentoring. And yes, the other thing that you may be interested in is my free downloadable PDF, Top 10 Secrets to Hacking Your Flow, Stepping Into Your Power and Thriving at Life. And you can get that at go.flowninja.co. That's go.flowninja.co. All right. Well, thank you for listening to the podcast. Please do subscribe if you haven't already. We are now available on Apple Podcasts as well as all other good podcasting platforms. Also, I forgot to mention, another great reason for downloading the PDF is that you get to be on my email list, the Flow Ninja email list, so you get all the latest updates regarding new podcast editions, episodes, and YouTube videos I'm putting out there, as well as my news and views on life and everything. So, yes, please do subscribe. Yes, and I'm also on YouTube. Yep. I have now the Flow Ninja account. I've been making a video every day. I've given the weekend a break, but back on track today. So that's just Flow Ninja on YouTube. The link should be in the description of the podcast. It's a fledgling channel, so I don't have one of these vanity URLs. So it's just a jumble of letters after youtube.com. The format's a little bit different to the podcast. I'm making videos about my insights into reality, life, human nature, psychology, that kind of thing. And yeah, I invite you to subscribe, like the videos if they resonate, and comment your thoughts and feedback. That would be wonderful. So Thanks again for listening to this podcast, and see you in the next episode. Hey guys, so please support this podcast and my YouTube by donating on Patreon. Every little help, big and small, is a massive support for me to continue making videos and, yeah, get the word out there, get my story and my message out there. So I much appreciate any help you can give. The link for my Patreon is in the show notes. So I look forward to making more stuff, more content for you. Thank you. And the link is patreon.com/flowninja. Simple as that. Thank you so much.